Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Today, we start this new series. Every year in January, I need to quiet down? I'm a little ringy. Sorry. Every year in January, we do a series, usually challenging us in some way to, make the next year better, to get rid of things that are holding us back. Listen, how many of you would be honest and truthful right now? You're like, I made a New Year's resolution to be at church more often. How many of you did that? Some of you. Some people are okay. Listen, that's a great thing to do. But New Year's resolutions typically fizzle out by about week 3. So if your commitment for 2025 is I'm going to be involved in church, I'm going to be at church more often, I'm going to get plugged into a life group, that's my New Year's resolution, let's change the wording on that. Let's say that that's going to be my spiritual discipline for 2025. Because a New Year's resolution is just something that's short-lived and then it fizzles out. But a spiritual discipline is something that we work hard to cultivate and get into our spirit and our soul and make it part of our everyday. So 2025, make it be your year of discipline. Yeah. That was so fun. And message end. No, I'm just kidding. So every year in January, we typically do something that we're encouraging 2020, the next year to start out. And we also get ready to introduce our new theme for the next year. How many remember what was the theme for 2024? Oh, good job. Okay, all right. How many of you remember the theme for 2023? Okay, so I heard it. Exponentially more. All right. How many of you remember the theme for 2022? Say
louder.
The forward movement. Listen, that's okay. I heard Faith over here I wasn't here. That's okay. This year, in January, instead of doing some type of improve yourself type of message series, we wanted to take a look back at previous year's themes because for exactly what Faith said, some of you weren't here. Some of you didn't hear about them. Some of you are like, I don't know. I didn't know there was other themes than Bear Good Fruit. What was Bear Good Fruit? It's coming, don't you worry. This month, in the month of January, we're going back to highlight the themes of the last 3 years. Yes, we are a church that is 4 years old, but we didn't start doing a theme for the year until 2022. And the message series is just a little nod to my era. It's called Be Kind, Rewind. If you remember the era of Blockbuster, then you know that there was little stickers on the VHSs that you would rent that would say, please be kind, or be kind, please rewind. And if you turned in your VHS tape without rewinding it, then they usually gave you a 25-cent charge on your account that you needed to pay the next time that you rented a VHS. Aren't you so glad that we have streaming services now that instead of renting a VHS for, $1.99, you can rent a movie for $17.99. It's so great. But you don't have to rewind it. And you don't have to travel down to Blockbuster to get it, right? Or return it. That's a whole other story, right? So this series, Be Kind, Rewind, Looking Back to Move Forward, this is not just a lazy attempt by your pastors to fill up some space. I don't know, what should we do? You know what? Let's just preach what we've already preached. That wasn't the intention at all, okay? There is so much health and growth that we can gain by going back before we move forward. If you want to learn more about that concept, going back in order to go forward, Soul Care is coming on March 1st. Yet another thing to add to your calendar, Soul Care, Saturday, March 1st, from 9 a.m. till about 3 o'clock. Okay? We have had three huge years where we have focused on a lot of internal work on ourselves. Okay? All three of these themes that we talked about, bear good fruit, exponentially more, and the forward movement, have really focused on us focusing on ourselves and what's going on within us in order for God to get us to where he wants us to go. This process will never stop, okay? So let me just make that crystal clear. We never stop focusing on ourselves and focusing on what we need to get rid of, what we need to change, how we need to improve. We will never have arrived at our destination until we get to heaven, right? But we're going to take the next 3 weeks to rewind and revisit those themes and remind you, or teach you if you weren't here, what it means to take these to heart before we unveil the theme for 2025, because get ready, buckle your seatbelt. The theme for 2025 is going to totally challenge us on an entirely different level. Today, I get to talk to you about the theme from 2022, which was the forward movement. I even wore my shirt from 2022 in honor of that, the forward movement. And on the sleeve, it says, keep moving. I thought it said keep moving forward, but it doesn't. It just says keep moving. And really, our focus was that we should always be looking for the next step. How many of you heard us say that at Hope City? What's your next step? Right? Because it's not about planning the next 5 years, even the next year, but it's really about okay, I'm here. So now, God, what's my next step? Now what do you want me to do? Now what should I get involved in? Now what discipline should I do, right? We should always be focusing on what our next step is in order to keep moving forward. If you have your Bibles, and I forgot mine in the car today, I want you to open to the book of Philippians. If you have your phones, open up your Bible app to the book of Philippians. We spent a lot of time in the book of Galatians when we were doing Bear Good Fruit. Philippians is just two books forward from Galatians. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. And he's getting ready. He had just finished talking to them about what it looks like to be perfect in the faith or strive for excellence in the faith. And he says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I think you need to hold on for just a minute. Let me reread that. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. That, my friends, is the point of the forward movement. I'm looking forward to the end. And I'm looking forward to my next step. Because my faith journey and your faith journey is intended to be a constant forward movement. Now, things happen and cause us to go backwards, occasionally, or often. It could be either. We identify these things that cause us to go back as cycles. Ooh! I'm going to give you my definition of a cycle right now. Okay, this is Paula's definition. This is not from the dictionary. This is not from Webster, nothing. This is from Paula, okay? Cycle is a familiar pattern of behavior that always ends with the same results. A familiar pattern of behavior that always ends with the same results. Everyone in here, you, me, all of us, have a certain tendency toward a cycle. And every single one of us is different in what that is. And maybe some of our cycles are similar, but the one thing is going to look a little different among all of us. Every single one of us has a tendency towards a specific or particular sinful pattern or behavior. And Satan knows exactly what your tendency is. And in the book of Proverbs, the writer tells us parents to pay attention to your child's different bents and tendencies towards sin and raise them, train them according to those bents, keeping those in mind and training them how to overcome them. It says, train your children in the way that they should go. And in the original language, it was like paying attention to their certain tendencies and bents. But we can't train our children according to their bents until we pay attention to our bents. Until we focus and we realize, what are my bents towards sin? What keeps me going back? Because Satan knows what that tendency is. And he's going to scheme and work to get all of us into situations in order to fall back into the same old things. It's called temptation. And temptation doesn't have to be scary. You want to know why? Because Jesus takes care of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, says this, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. I just want you to pay attention to that right there. Because the enemy would love for you to think, like, this is so big. This is so huge. Nobody else knows what it's like to feel this one thing. You're all alone in this. Yours is bigger than anybody else's. Yours is more powerful than anybody else's. And the Bible says the temptations in your life are no different than what other people experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than what you can stand. You know, the enemy would love for you to think and to get in that place and for you to be like, I can't handle this. It's too big. I cannot resist. It's beyond my control. I have to give in. I can't fight this. That goes against God's word and God's character. When you feel that, when you think that, that's a complete lie from the pit of hell, because God said in his word, he will not allow the temptation to be more than what you can stand. If you're experiencing it, I'm telling you right now, God knows you can handle it. And he has made a way out. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Got really quiet. But there's a caveat here. We have to be disciplined to take the way out that he gives us. He gives us a way out. We have to choose it. I was thinking as I was preparing this about the movie Finding Nemo. Okay? And in that movie, Marlin and Dory are inside like this sunken ship. And they're trapped in this, like, compartment. And this big shark, Bruce, is trying to, like, barge in and eat them. Right? I mean, and he's, like, banging. And they're, like, swimming all these different directions, like, trying to find a way out. And written in big, bold letters across a hatch says, escape. And Dory looks at it. She's like, ooh, escape. That's a fun word. Escape. Escape. And Bruce is like pounding. She's like, don't bother me. We're trying to escape. When the escape is right there in front of them, they just had to take it, right? How many times do I find my own self like, how do I get out of this? And God's like, escape. Go. Right? Go. I have to be disciplined to take the route of escape, even if it means denying what seems to be so satisfying in the moment. So there are three things today that I want to talk about that keep us in a cycle. This is not an exhaustive list. I think there are many, many things that keep us in cycles. But I don't have time. I now have 15 minutes, okay? And I went a few minutes over last service, and I might do the same today, okay? I have 15 minutes. So I narrowed it down to three. This first one, you're going to hate it. I'm just warning you right now. You ready? The first thing that keeps us going in cycles is this. Vomit. Huh? What? Ew. It's vomit. How many of you are dog owners in here? Okay. I've been a dog owner my entire life. I've always had at least one dog, sometimes three. Okay? And here's what it's like with life with dogs sometimes. The dog is going about its business. And it's like, ooh, I don't feel very good. Listen, if you're a dog owner, you know, like, get outside! I know what's coming, right? And all of a sudden, it's like, bleh. And this dog just ralphs all over the place, right? Listen, I have to tell you, I send my notes to Pastor Shuri usually by Friday every week for her to prepare the slides. I was chuckling when I sent this because, listen, not only does Pastor Shree not enjoy dogs, okay? She really hates, like, talking about vomit or the sounds about vomit. And I'm like, she's going to love this. I was so proud of myself when I hit send on Friday. Like, oh, I wish I was there when she opened up these notes, okay? All right. So back to the barf, right? This dog barfs, and he's like, "Ooh, that is gross," and he just kind of, like, walks away. And he gets, like, three steps away, and all of a sudden he's like, "Okay, I feel better. I'm going to come over here. I'm going to chase my tail for a bit. I'm going to chase the ball. Yeah, I'm going to, like, go to the bathroom." And then, "Hey, I'm kind of hungry. What is this?" And then, God, I feel so gross. Okay, is that gross? It's gross. Well, guess what? In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11, it says this. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. Dang. What? How many times have you found yourself returning to the very thing that makes you feel so terrible? Right? We're over here and we're like, oh, that is awful. I never want to do that again. I never want to feel like this again. Jesus, I'm following you. I'm living for you. I don't ever want to praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm living this. And okay. Yeah, great. What is that? That looks good. I want that. And Jesus is over here like, Escape! Escape! Right? And we look at this, we're like, nom, 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 nom. And then we're like, oh, why'd I do that? I feel so right? Come on. Then we wonder why we feel so miserable. And we wonder why we're not getting anywhere. And we wonder why we're not maturing in our faith. Stop eating vomit. Stop eating vomit. So ask Jesus this question. Maybe you need to take a picture of this. Maybe you need to write it down. Ask Jesus this question. What do I keep going back to that you want me to walk away from? Now, here's the hard part, guys. Are you ready? If you ask him, he will answer. Just gonna be truthful. If you ask him this, he's going to answer you. And then you have to make the choice. Do I escape or do I eat the vomit? What's my choice? The second thing is this. The second thing that keeps us cycling. Listen, if you didn't like the first one, you're really not gonna enjoy the second one. Are you ready? The second thing that keeps us cycling is unforgiveness. Dang! What? Pastor Paula, like this is hard stuff. I know. Moving forward is not easy, right? I mean, Jesus told us in his word, it's not gonna be easy if you choose to follow me. Don't think it's gonna be hard. You're going to have times where it feels like, why am I doing this? This is probably one of those times. And listen, we go into deep detail about unforgiveness and the power of forgiveness in Soul Care. And if this is something where you're like, ooh, I have a lot of forgiving to do. Same. I was once there. Where I had a lot of forgiving to walk through. You should put the date on your calendar right now. Saturday, March 1st, starting at 9 a.m., possibly going till 3. Possibly earlier, but possibly till 3. Refusing to forgive and harboring bitterness keeps you cycling. I want to tell you quickly recap a story in Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, verses 21 to 36, there's a man who's in service to the king, and he owes the king an exorbitant, I think that's the word, a lot, okay? It's a lot of money, like a lot of money. And he goes before the king. The king tells him he needs to pay his bill or he's going to be sent to a work camp to work off his debt. And this man begs the king for forgiveness. Like, please don't do this. Please don't send me away. Please forgive me. And the king, in mercy, says, you're forgiven. I choose to forgive you. You no longer owe me this debt. And this man walks out of the king's presence completely free, completely forgiven of this huge amount of money. And he goes into the village and he sees this man in the village that owes him money. And it's like such a small amount. Such a small amount, like dollars compared to the millions that he owed the king. And he tells this man, you need to pay me that money right now. And the man says, I don't have it. I don't have it right now. And he says, too bad then. Off to work camp you go. And all of your family with you until you can pay me back my $250. Right? I totally made that up. I don't know the exact amount that it was. But in comparison to that man's debt, it was like pennies on the dollar, okay? Nothing ever goes unseen in the kingdom. You need to know that. And word got back to the king of what that servant had just done. And the king calls him back to his presence and asks him, did you do this? And he's like, yeah, I did. And in Matthew chapter 18, verses 34 to 35, it says this, then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And Jesus said, that is what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Because refusing to forgive causes us to be tortured in memories and pain. In the original language, in this passage, it says he sent him to the torturers. That's what unforgiveness does. It's torture to us. We keep going over all the pain, all of the anguish, all of the bitterness. Holding on to unforgiveness also inhibits our ability to lead others. Listen, this past life group season, I was leading a group, and the message that we were going to be talking about this particular night was on forgiveness. Weeks before this, I had been sitting at dinner with Pastor Shuri and Pastor Avi, and the topic of forgiveness and something in my past had come up, and I said to them, guys, I still haven't forgiven that person. And I recognized I made them a little uncomfortable. Like, I mean, what are you supposed to do when your lead pastor's like, I haven't forgiven? Well, that's like one of my main things that I preach on is on forgiveness. And I'm like, I haven't forgiven them. And they're like, well, you might want to do that. You know what I mean? And like, just kind of move on. And a couple weeks go by, and I'm ending my work day knowing that I need to go get ready for life group because we're talking about forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit, like, grips my heart. Like, I could just feel his hands on my shoulders and be like, you cannot lead this group tonight until you deal with this issue. I'm going to tell you right now, Paula, you know what? Sometimes our parents speak really firmly to us, right? Like a lot of, there's so many times when Father God is super loving and gentle and kind to me. But there's sometimes when I need the firm voice of a father that says, you need to listen up, sweetheart. And he said, I'm going to tell you this right now, young lady. If you go and try to lead that life group tonight without dealing with this situation in your life, you will fail and you will fail those women. What's it going to be? Okay. That's how I responded. Seriously. Fine. And so I had to leave work and I drove to the river and I sat there for about an hour working through forgiveness and working through the anger of that situation. And you know why it was so important? Is because really that one person that I thought I needed to forgive, that was really nothing. It was a deeper issue that was being covered by the situation with that one person. But I had to be willing to forgive in order for God to show me that there's actually a deeper issue here that I want to talk to you about, right? Forgiveness, holding on to unforgiveness will inhibit our ability to lead others. So what is God asking us to forgive? And I want to tell you this. You'll learn more about this in soul care. But forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation, because forgiveness is for you, not for that other person. And it doesn't always mean going back to relationship with that person. But when the issue is among friends, forgiveness does mean to move on and to no longer hold it against that other person. In Proverbs 17:9, it says this, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Here's your question. Get out your camera, whatever you're writing with. Here it is. You ready? Jesus, is there anyone I need to forgive in order to move forward? And if he gives you a name, and you're like, I don't even know how to do that, March 1st, Saturday, March 1st, soul care, we're going to talk about it. The third thing that keeps us cycling, listen, if you hated the first one, you despised the second one, you're going to abhor the third one. Are you ready? The third thing that keeps us cycling is control. I know! We love control, don't we? We cling to control. We long for God's plan in our lives. But we want it to look a certain way, right? We struggle to be completely obedient. Meaning this, like complete obedience means complete obedience, not just mostly. We struggle to be completely obedient and then wonder why we're struggling with misery and anxiety and depression. And control presents itself in many ways, through our relationships, through our finances, through our identity, through our future plans. And it's not bad to have plans. But the problem is when our plans supersede or come before God's plan. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I love this same passage from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase called The Message. So he says, trust God from the bottom of your heart and don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Well, Proverbs 28:26 says this, "Those who trust their own insight are foolish." Do you remember at the very beginning of our message what a fool was compared to? A dog who eats his vomit, right? Those who trust their own insight are foolish. They eat vomit. But anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. This same passage from the Passion paraphrase says this, "Self-confident know-it-alls will prove to be fools." Vomit eaters. "But when you lean on the wisdom from above, you will have a way to escape, escape the troubles of your own making." Moving forward means this. Moving forward means giving God everything. Everything. Finances, future, identity, reputation, relationships, jobs, careers. Every decision means asking Jesus, "What do you think about this?" Here's your question. Father God, is there any area where I'm leaning on my own desire and not listening to you? Warning, warning. If you ask him, he will answer. And then you have to decide, am I going to escape? Or am I going to be a vomit eater? Right? Moving forward requires us to surrender it all and let him tell us what the next step is. Let's pray. Jesus, right now, as we're in this moment, I know you've been speaking to people as we've gone through these things. This has been challenging. And God, right now, I just pray that you will just continue to speak to hearts.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.